We've been talking this week about the tug of war between family and work and how women perhaps struggle to keep both sides from getting pulled off their feet.
What my generation has not been, I think, willing to say, out of fear that it would set the cause of women back, has been, look, this is really hard to do, and you may well need to, you know, take some time, not take that promotion, defer for a while things that you want to do professionally to be able to be with your kids.
That's Annerie Slaughter there, former director of policy planning for the U.S. State Department, author of an Atlantic magazine cover story this month titled Why Women Still Can't Have It All. She spoke to us on the program yesterday. The question is the work-family balance easier for men than for women? That's something we explore today with two adult siblings. So both of them of the same generation and the same family background, both working to strike a balance between their home and office, but on opposite sides of the gender line. Rebecca Traister writes for Salon. She's the author of Big Girls Don't Cry, The Election That Changed Everything for American Women. So, Rebecca, briefly, do you think this particular balance is more difficult to strike for women than men?
Well, sure. It still is more difficult because we're dealing with upending essentially millennia of one way of doing things in which women were responsible in the domestic sphere and men were in the public sphere. And we're changing that. And it happens more slowly than I think many people believed. And one of the things about Annerie Slaughter's piece, she writes that when she was in graduate school in the 80s, women of her generation thought it would be fixed by now. And one of the things we're realizing is that rearranging our expectations takes so much time that it is sort of generation by generation. So that, for example, my brother and I have completely different lives than our father and mother had, but that our children will in turn have different attitudes about it. And that it just turns out the change is a lot slower and harder than perhaps we thought 30 years ago.
Well, let me ask your brother there, Aaron Traister, a columnist who writes about masculinity. You've been a stay-at-home dad. Aaron, do you think it's more difficult for women than for men, or is it simply about the primary caretaker of children?
I think the recession and the state of the economy right now is actually speeding things up and making those changes happen a lot more quickly. I know two guys, for instance, in the last year who have had children born with medical issues, and it became an issue of practicality for them to stay home because their wives were the ones with the better health benefits.
So, Rebecca, your brother says that the recession is kind of speeding things up. Annerie Slaughter makes the argument that the recession isn't, in the end, won't actually change things. It's going to take, like, conscious decisions on the part of both women and men to change the culture, to make it more equivalent.
I think it's going to be a combination of both. Circumstances certainly change the way we live our lives. You know, Aaron's example of children who are born with medical issues that require health insurance, there are also enormous numbers of men, for instance, who lost jobs and women who lost jobs. That changes the dynamics of who stays home with the kids. How do you handle child care? So there are certainly circumstantial sort of outside world dictated changes that then impact how families live their lives. But Annerie is absolutely right that we also need to put conscious thought into it. I think one of the problems coming out of second wave feminism in the 70s was the thought that because we changed public opportunities for women, allowed at least some very lucky women to be going to colleges, to get into workforces, to earn more money than they ever had before, that the home stuff was going to work itself out because we just sort of feel our way into it. And obviously, what became apparent, you know, really within about 10 or 15 years of women entering the workforce in large numbers, was that that domestic sphere rearrangement wasn't going to just sort itself out. We have to apply conscious thought, and that's something we sort of have failed to do with the kind of spirit that I think feminists in the 70s attacked public issues.
We're speaking with Rebecca Traister and Aaron Traister, siblings, and that gives us a good opportunity, Aaron, because you both come from the same family background. I wonder, as Rebecca mentioned, that it's generational. I wonder if you could imagine your father being a stay-at-home dad as you were.
No, I couldn't. We come from a very, my mother was one of the first tenured professors at the college that she teaches at. But beyond that, we came from a very sort of traditional household. My mother was totally in charge of the domestic sphere, even though she was the one, she was a tenured professor.
My father, who is a lovely man, and we adore him, I don't think, cooked a meal, washed a dish, It was a very traditional domestic setup.
And that has changed a little bit. I mean, it is true that men are, for the most part, picking up more duties at home. It's just not equal yet, right, Rebecca?
Yes. I mean, I think it depends on what house you look at. The sort of time use studies still tell us that women do much more of the domestic work, especially the housework. Attitudes do seem to be changing a lot more swiftly around fatherhood, which is specifically around childcare, and we have many more men feeling increasingly comfortable as parents, you know, child care, changing diapers, all of it, things that were sort of unimaginable a few decades ago for dads. But there's a whole different area of housework, who's doing the dishes, who's vacuuming, who's keeping the house clean, who's doing the laundry. And, of course, and these time work studies, time use studies do tell us that women are still doing the preponderance of domestic work. But it is shifting. It is shifting. We can't, at the same time that we wring our hands about it and say we need to do so much more and we need to apply conscious thought, we also have to be aware of the fact that these things have begun to change. We have to acknowledge that we're somewhere in the middle, in process.
Well, last question for you, Erin. Obviously, the statistics show us women are paid less. Men who have kids end up getting a pay bump. Women who have kids end up getting a pay decrease, statistically anyway. Do you feel that things have been a little easier for you than your sister?
Yes and no. I mean, for me, I'm... I don't really have a good frame of reference in the working world at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, I know a lot of guys. Most of the guys I know are sort of like me, where you know, either we dropped out of school or you know, something along those lines. So I can't really speak to the working world anymore. I'm pretty much in charge of the domestic end.
And that may be progress in and of itself. Erin Traister, a columnist, writes about masculinity. Rebecca Traister writes for Salon. She's the author of Big Girls Don't Cry, The Election That Changed Everything for American Women. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.